We are thankful to be here and to worship God in spirit and in truth, to appeal to His mercy. For God is indeed a merciful God, and we're thankful for Him being merciful. One thing we do know about Jehovah, that He desires all to be saved. When I consider us being His people and the love that He has for us, I'm humbled that He allows us to use our minds to be able to think and to be able to still keep His commandments. For that's the will of man. That's man's all, is to keep the commandments of God. For the last few weeks, we've been hearing our nation very proudly thank the essential workers, those who are manning our grocery stores, those who are manning our necessities as it relates to the things that we may need, the healthcare workers, and we're grateful for them. As a matter of fact, we ought to be thankful. When we go to the grocery store, we ought to say thank you. Thank you in one sense on being on the front line. We ought to be thankful for those who are attending to those who are ill, even before this pandemic. We ought to be just as thankful. Every now and then, we ought to just send a message to one that we know who works in the medical field and say thank you. And the reason why, because they are essential workers. And it caused me to think about the gratefulness that I have and that we all should have for one another. It caused me to think about the essential workers for Christ. Because even though we may not be on the front line when it comes to the commerce, as it relates to the grocery stores, as it relates to healthcare, some of us are on those front lines, but when we consider as Christians, we never should leave the front line. We are essential workers for Christ. As I was thinking about this and pondering and meditating, it caused me to think about when Jesus selected His disciples a few at a time. Matthew chapter 3, going into Matthew chapter 4. And we come to Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mountainside, and Jesus says something very interesting in Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. He says, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're that city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid." And I know I always refer to these passages, and the reason why is because I like to stamp them in my mind and remind myself as a man of God, not just as a preacher, not as an elder, but just as a man of God, that I always have to be that salt of the earth, that preserving power, that preserving element. I always have to be the light of the world. People ought to be able to look at me. It doesn't matter where I am, whether at home or otherwise. And I ought to be able to point them to the true light, Jesus Christ. And I'm that city that's set upon a hill, looking at the language that Jesus is using as it relates to Jerusalem, being that city upon the hill. We ought to be those things. But He says, "Men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friends, we are indeed essential workers for Christ. I know that we are highly praising the men who are working and laboring hard for us, and we're grateful for them. So we don't ever want to diminish that. But friends, let us not elevate the people of God, because indeed we are essential workers for Christ. And just because there is a pandemic or just because there is some type of virus going around doesn't mean that we still can't be the people that God has called us out of sin to be. And then it caused me to think about Matthew 10, verses 1 through 9, as Jesus has already selected His apostles, His disciples, and now He's about to send them out on what is called the limited commission. He names those disciples in the first few verses, and then He sends them out to heal. He sends them out to preach, and as you preach, do a few things as you're preaching. It caused me to think about Jesus knew that the church, the kingdom of God, needed some essential workers. And it would be these men in whom we would rest our souls upon. Listen, we would rest our souls upon these men. Why? Because they would carry out the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2 and verse number 42, our lives is based upon the apostles' doctrine. And when we don't uphold the apostles' doctrine, we're not upholding the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And so these men here were essential workers for God, for Jesus Christ. And just as we are essential workers, we ought to make sure that we're studying the apostles' doctrine all of the time. And that we're just like the Apostle Paul, that the things in which I write unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 37. But then that caused me to think about Timothy and how Paul dealt with Timothy. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Here, I love this particular passage, or passages rather, because it spoke a lot as it relates to Timothy being an essential worker. And keep in mind the previous things that were just said as it relates to the apostles' doctrine and how Jesus chose those 12. And even though one was the son of perdition and he didn't act right, God had one waiting. And so when we consider 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through verse 17. Notice these words, friends. But you have carefully followed my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Now, one thing that Timothy did, he watched Paul closely. Friends, shouldn't we be watching what our Lord has done very closely? Paul would say on one occasion, follow me even as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1. And he says, out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. Friends, God will deliver us from this one day. I just know it. I have assurance of that. And because of that, we have hope and faith and trust, not just in God, but in his word and also hopefully in one another. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise. Notice, for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Oftentimes, as I considered these passages, I thought about how Timothy had the Old Testament scriptures, and that could be also true. But if you notice the wording very clearly, he says that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation. But where is salvation? 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10, salvation is in Christ. And then notice what he says, through faith, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about the law of Moses. He's talking about the law to Christ. The scriptures that Timothy was brought up in were the scriptures of Jesus Christ. But then notice what he says. Now he goes back. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And notice the profitability of scripture. Notice the blessings of scripture. Keep in mind that we are essential workers. And because we are essential workers, we're holding fast to the apostles' doctrine. And so we see there are great benefits to the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable, meaning it's helpful for doctrine, which is learning, for reproof, which is evidence, for correction, which is improvement for life, for instruction in righteousness. And that word instruction is the idea of training. Training in what? Right living and being acceptable with and by God, that the man of God may be complete or fit for learning, thoroughly equipped. Now, notice this, friends. For every good work, we are essential workers. And the Bible, the Word of God, gives us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness in order for us to be the greatest essential workers that God will have on the face of the earth. Friends, we are the church of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're the essential workers when it comes to spirituality. When it comes to doing that which is righteous and holy and moral and upright, we are the essential workers. Again, that doesn't decimate or belittle those who are doing a great work for us. Thank you. But we want to say thank you for the ones who are staying steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For that's what's going to save us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, Paul would tell the church at Ephesus something very powerful and worthy of our consideration again. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, we understand that God has saved his people by grace. The essential workers of Jesus Christ understand that, know that, and are reminded of that. That we're not saved in and of ourselves. We're saved because of the grace of God. But that doesn't mean that we don't contribute to our salvation. You remember in Acts 2 and verse number 41, Peter told those individuals, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And even when we sin against God, we have to contribute to the repentance factor and to the forgiveness factor as it relates to confessing your fault. He is faithful and just to forgive you. So we have to contribute not only to our salvation, but when we make a misstep, we have to contribute to God even forgiving us. We got to do our part. And so in Ephesians 2 in verse number 8 through 10, notice what your Bible there says. For by grace you have been saved, notice, through faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And not of yourselves, is it the gift of God. God's grace is a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift. Salvation by blood is a gift. Being saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, is a gift. And then notice what he says. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Why? For we are his workmanship. Now listen to this, friends. Created in Christ Jesus for what reason? For good works. Friends, we are God's essential workers. Oh, don't sit back and do nothing during this time. Don't sit back in your easy chair and do nothing during this time. Call people, encourage people, text people, let them know that you're thinking about them. Send them cards, do something to encourage them in the midst of this difficult time. Friends, we are his workmanship. We don't sit back and do nothing. As a matter of fact, during this particular time, we want to even do more with what God will have us to do, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But what type of work should we be essential workers in? In Matthew chapter 25, there the Bible teaches us and demonstrates very clearly, Matthew 25 verses 34 through 36. In Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36, we take notice of the judgment scene. These are just a few things that we want to take note of. However, they must be very important because Jesus outlined these. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 36, Jesus would say these words. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I know many are doing that even amongst us. We don't have to say any names. You know who you are, and we thank you for that. Thank you for taking people food, even in the midst of this time. You're taking a chance on catching something, and we understand that. But you know what? If I catch something doing the will of God, so be it. So be it. Friends, we want to do God's will. And so when I was hungry, you brought me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. Friends, these are the words of Jesus. Oh, I can preach great lessons. I can go and I can do great things in the community. But if I don't do these things, friends, Jesus is going to have a problem with me, and I know it. And so we want to be those essential workers for Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that we remain wise and do God's will according to our ability. In Hebrews chapter 11, essential workers For Christ must rely upon the victors of the past. We have to have something to look forward, look back at, if you will. History is a great thing. For many years, I couldn't stand history. And, well, I come to learn that if you're going to be a Bible student, you gotta have a love for history. Because the Bible is it's just filled and saturated with history. And so when we consider Hebrews chapter 11, and we think about these heroes of faith, it caused me to think about men like Enoch, men who walked with God and how God took him. And even though God may not catch us up right now, God may not take us up right now, because we're right here on the earth, we can live in a way that he would. Men like Noah, who built the ark. I was contemplating this the other day, and I thought about the ark that was constructed in Kentucky and how many Americans flood to Kentucky, I believe it is, to go look at this ark, a replica, if you will. And that particular ark, even though it's nice, it wasn't built with the same purpose and intentions as Noah built his ark. God told Noah to build thee an ark. That ark was going to be for the saving of his house. He was going to be saved by water. He was going to be saved by that ark. But friends, we can build an ark, but it won't be for our salvation. For our salvation is in Christ. But when we consider, we ought to take the principles that Noah lived by, and we ought to build Christianity in our lives. Friends, we are essential workers. Essential workers are just like Noah. They build according to his specifications. They build according to God's word. They build according to the hope that God would grant. But I think I like this point best. In verses 8 through verse number 10, we come across Abraham. We understand that Abraham had a situation of offering his son. Yet we find that Abraham trusted God. Yet Abraham was willing with his sons to dwell in tents, temporary dwelling places, in order to look forward to something better. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse number 9, by faith, remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now notice this, for he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Friends, that's our encouragement right there. We're dwelling in this temporary tent right now, this human body, but also upon this earth. And we're looking forward to that permanent dwelling place. I know we get discouraged sometimes down here. I was telling Brother Royce, I said, I'm not fearful. I'm not even frustrated. I'm borderline angry with what's going on with our country. And the reason why is because of all of the things that is causing havoc upon God's people, the church. Friends, we love the church. We don't like to see the church hurting. But friends, we got to keep our heads up, and we got to rely upon one another and rely upon the word of God. And keep in mind that there's a home waiting for us in heaven. But I hate to come to some type of closure, but I must. Let's turn to the book of Haggai. You're probably thinking, why the book of Haggai? Brother Brian, you probably wasn't expecting me to go to the book of Haggai. But I'm going to go to the book of Haggai. And the reason why I'm going to go to the book of Haggai, because the essential workers of Christ must always consider their ways. And when the opportunity for them to return to normal comes about, then they must not only appreciate it, but hurriedly do so. In the book of Haggai, the people of God had come out of Babylonian captivity. This is a post-captivity book. They were tasked to go and rebuild God's temple. And the reason why is because of Haggai 1 and verse number 7 and 8. God wanted to be glorified and worshiped by his people. One thing I love about God, and you should too, God desires to be glorified and worshiped. Well, the people of God did not do that. As a matter of fact, God had to send Haggai to go remind them, I brought you out of captivity, to go and rebuild the temple. in order for you to glorify me, to worship me. And so here in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, the people of God are receiving this admonishment, if you will. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now?" Question. You remember when we used to meet in the building? Remember we worshiped God in spirit and truth together in the building? Remember how we would stay for 45 minutes to an hour after worship? Remember how we would hug on one another and give one another metaphorically holy kisses? Well, the world around us is teaching us some things that we have to be very careful about. We got to use some wisdom, no doubt, but God loves fellowship. He loves his people being together. He loves people, his people greeting one another. Let's not take on the attitude of the world and distance ourselves from one another to a point that we don't even trust one another. Friends, let's be careful. And here, when we consider the former glory of the temple where God's people were to worship, they had to come back and build, but they did not. Friends, the opportunity is going to come for us to go back into the building and do what we did, but let's do it better. Let's be richer. Let's be a people who appreciate worship even more. And so let's make sure that we make it on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday night and any other time that we have an opportunity to come together and to worship God and to study the Bible. Friends, let's not take these opportunities for granted no longer. And notice what he says in verse 3, the latter part, in comparison with it. Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong. Here, God is telling them, be strong. I want to encourage all of us, be strong right now. Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work. Now notice this, he says, for I am with you. Hebrews 13, 4 and 5, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is with us. For if God be for us, who can be against us? According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. Friends, God wanted his temple to be filled with glory. God wants his people to keep in mind that they are the people of God and that they are to glorify God together, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. The more I thought about this, and I thought about how we as the people of God are essential workers for the Lord. If you don't think that you're essential to the body of Christ, let me remind you that you are, and that you're important, and that God not only loves you, but he needs you in the kingdom. Sometimes we think that God doesn't need us. He does need us. How else is he going to get the gospel out? He has left this treasure, the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, in earthen vessels. God is not going to come down from heaven and preach and teach the gospel. God is not going to come down in the flesh and walk upon the earth. Friends, he needs us to do his will. Let's keep doing it. And if you're not, let's do it. So we want to thank you for being with us today. It says so much. We're thankful that we can come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. And we can leave here with a clear conscience, knowing that we have fulfilled the will of the Lord. May God bless you. May God keep you, and keep in mind that you're more than conquerors to him that love you. If you're not a child of God and you want to think about obeying the gospel, but you have questions, let us study with you. We're thankful to have our new converts with us this morning. Those who have recently obeyed the gospel, those who have rededicated their lives, we're thankful. Thank you for being here. But for those of us who are long-term members, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Because you are the essential workers that 9th and Main needs in order to be strong during this time. And so let's go out and let's be an influence to the world around us. And let us show the world around us that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins if you're not a Christian. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Maybe you're frustrated. That's fine. Let us work together. Let us help you as we sing the song of invitation.